How many of you are comfortable right now? Let's all stand up. And I want to read the Word of God with you, and I want you to read it with me off the screen, okay? I'm not doing this just to jerk you around. There are a lot of people in the world who would love to be holding a Bible right now. Don't ever hold a Bible, don't ever read a Bible without thinking about those who wish they had a Bible. And the high cost that people paid to give you a Bible. Let's read about the church at Ephesus. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my own namesake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You may be seated. Do you remember, if you're married, what it was like when you first fell in love? Do you remember how precious that was? Maybe you're not married, but if you know the Lord, I want to ask you, do you remember what it was like when you fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember what it was like? You couldn't stay away from the Bible. You didn't really know how to pray, but all you wanted to do was talk with the Lord. You didn't really know how to witness, but all you wanted to do was tell other people about Jesus Christ. And you couldn't believe what the Lord had done in your life. But perhaps now, years later, life has become very busy. Your job, your family, and the things of the world. Not bad things, just other things. And slowly but surely, perhaps, in your own life, you have pushed your intimate walk with the Lord to the side. And now it's just going to church, or it's just going to a Bible study once in a while. The average evangelical, committed, so-called Christian in America goes to church less than twice a month and still calls himself or herself a committed Christian. And we wonder why our nation is sick. The nation is sick because the church is sick. The church is sick because we as Christians have left our first love. The church at Ephesus started in a great revival. You can read about it. It's one of the most miraculous events in the book of Acts. Paul goes to Ephesus, not the first time he had been there, but he goes to Ephesus. He finds a dozen men who were disciples of John the Baptist, who had believed John's message, but they'd never gone far enough to Jesus. So Paul told them the rest of the story, shared the gospel with them. They all got saved. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul, as he always did, went for 3 months to the synagogue there at Ephesus. And they ran him out. And they denied Jesus. And they publicly disgraced the way, that is, the Christian faith. Paul just shook the dust off of his feet, went to a philosopher's area, a hallway that a philosopher used, and Paul rented it out. And he started lecturing there every day when the philosophers weren't there. And the Bible said so many people were coming through there and they were listening to him that all of Asia heard the gospel within 2 years. And God was doing great miracles there, extraordinary miracles. Now think about what I'm about to say. Paul was a tent maker. And he would be sweating. If you've ever been to Ephesus, it's a hot place. And he would be sweating, and he would take his aprons off, and he would take his bandanas off, if you will. And they were taking those aprons and those bandanas to sick people and laying them on them, and God somehow was using that to ignite the people's faith, and they prayed, and they would be healed. You say, I've never heard anything like that. Well, it was miraculous. And the Bible says that they were casting out demons. Demons would come out of people. How many of you believe in demons? Does anybody believe in demons? Hollywood believes in demons. They believe in it probably more than a lot of Christians believe in it. Hollywood makes all kinds of movies about demons. They've got their theology all messed up, but they believe in the demonic. They don't talk anything about the angelic in the sense of the good angels, but they do believe in the demonic. It's all over the place. And so Paul was ministering and demons were being cast out. Some Jewish, non-Christian young men were going around trying to be exorcists, and they approached a man with the demon. They said, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And I love what the demon said. That kind of sounds bad, doesn't it? I love what the demon said. I like what he said. He said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, and who are you? And the Greek says he beat the tar out of them, all right? That's in the Greek, all right? Beat the tar out of them. I mean, just beat them, and they couldn't do anything about it. And the Bible says people started bringing, the Ephesians that got saved, started bringing their books of magic and books of Satanism and books of the occult, and they were burning them in the streets. When Don and I were in Banff, Canada, we went down to another little town. What was the little town right down the road? Kenmore. Walked into a bookstore, and almost in the centerpiece was all kinds of witchcraft books on how to cast spells and curses on people. Don't think that stuff's not real. We live in a spiritual war, brother. You better start praying. You better start praying for your family. You better start praying for your children. You better start praying for this nation. You better get down on your face and start praying. But the Bible says in Ephesus, demons were screaming and coming out of people, and God was doing a great work. They went on to have a riot started by a guy named Demetrius that was mad because everybody was giving up their pagan gods that he was selling. He was losing money, and he got mad, and they stood out in the streets yelling for 2 hours, great is Artemis of the Ephesians, great is Artemis of the Ephesians, and they went on and on in that babble. God was doing a great work. The church at Ephesus is the only church in the Bible that has two letters written to it, one by the Apostle Paul, one by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it must have been a very important church. I've been to Ephesus twice. I hope to go back. But I want to talk to you today about understanding the church. The church is not just a little building where you come and gather once a week and get an inoculation of Holy Ghost and you go out and you live the best you can until you come back within 67 hours. No, it's more than that. The church is the body of Christ. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones. We are the ones that are to live delightfully differently for the glory of Jesus Christ. And everywhere we go, when we walk into a room, the aroma of Jesus Christ should enter that room. And when we leave that room, it ought to smell like Jesus. Not like flesh, not like us, not like our bad attitudes. But we're so full of the Holy Ghost, we're so in the Word, we're so walking with the Lord that wherever we go, the fragrance of Christ just envelops the room. And when we leave, people say, wow, things are better. things are better. I leave a wake of Jesus. I know some people that leave a wake of anything but Jesus. When they come into a room, it's just like terror enters the room, all right? And they leave and everybody's mad and messed up. That's not the way Christians ought to live. When you leave a room, it ought to be better off. It ought to be more like Jesus. So let's talk a little bit about this whole first love thing. Have you left your first love? I tell preachers all the time. I was just preaching to a bunch of preachers the other day in Branson, Missouri. I said, you can love the ministry and not love the master. You can love the ministry and get all involved in the ministry and all involved in church work and not remember your first love. You can love the things of God and not love God. Man, we got to stay in love with the Lord. Just like your marriage, you stay in love with the same person until you die or they die. You just keep on loving. You keep falling in love with the same person. And you keep falling in love with the Lord Jesus. He never gets old. Okay, let me preach. Number one, the earthly leader of Christ's church. Look at verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write. Who is this angel? Angelos, messenger, envoy. An angel in Scripture normally refers to a supernatural being, an angelic being that served as a messenger, a guardian, a mediator. And normally they were referred to as servants of God, although sometimes the angels were the dark angels, the spirits that we refer to as demons. But here in the text it says the angel of the Ephesian church, literally the messenger of the Ephesian church. And this is the first of seven churches that Jesus would address in the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 in Revelation is the revelation of the resurrected Lord in heaven. Chapters 2 and 3 immediately see Jesus walking among the churches, walking among them, and he's got these stars, he's got these angels in his hands. I probably won't get an amen in the bunch, but the angel, the messenger, is the pastor. See, not an amen in the bunch. I knew it. I knew it. I never get an amen there. I get that. Too late. Too late. Too late. Must have been my cousin. I don't know who that was. All right. Don't think of an angelic minister, person. Being, think of a messenger. When God wanted to talk to his church, he talked to the pastor. That doesn't mean everybody else is, you know, worse or less of a Christian. Doesn't mean that at all. How many of you know that God operates in authority? Does anybody understand that? He does. And that's all it is. Pastors are under shepherds. We're under the great shepherd. We're not show-offs. We're not dictators. We're just the ones that God chooses to speak through. And if we mess up, God can get us out of the way real quick. Amen. You pray for your shepherd. We're going to have a more exacting accounting that we have to give before the Lord, the Bible says in James 3. So the pastor is not a dictator. He's not a tyrant. He's the earthly leader. My predecessor, Dr. Adrian Rogers, said the church is pastor-led, deacon-served, committee organized, and congregationally approved. I agree with his well-delineated comments 100%. The first century churches had plurality of elders, and we have that here. We have plurality. We have several pastors. But they all had a senior pastor. They all had a lead pastor. If you go to the church at Jerusalem, for instance, it was the brother of Jesus, James, was the senior pastor. A biblical church has to have an earthly leader. Secondly, the eternal Lord of Christ's church. Let's look at that. The earthly leader of the Christ's church is the senior pastor, but the eternal Lord of Christ's church is Jesus himself. Look at verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the stars, the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, the lampstands where the church is, says this. Jesus is the one holding the seven stars, the seven messengers, the seven angeloi, the the stars, the pastors in his right hand. And the Bible says that that Jesus went on and he was saying, I'm the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I want to say this to you. We can't see him today, but Jesus is walking in these hallways. Jesus is walking in and out of every crevice. I know he doesn't live in buildings made by human hands, but I believe that the Lord is around his people, and wherever his people are, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. I believe in the manifest presence of God. I know that God is omnipresent. I get that. I get that he's everywhere except hell. I don't believe God's in hell. I believe hell is the absence of God. That's the worst part of hell. It's not the fire, which I believe in the fire. It's not the torture, which I believe in the torture. It's not the eternal, all that, but it is the eternally being separated. You have never been, nobody in this room has ever been separated from the presence of God. There's a presence of God in this world. And when you get saved, the presence of God comes to live within you in the Holy Spirit. You Christians, you know the presence of God. That's why when you mess up on the inside, you're tied up tighter than a knot. That's the Holy Ghost telling you, you messed up. You get that. And when you have that urge to do good, that's the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is especially gathered together when we gather in his name as Christians. And by the way, that's another reason. This is more important than missing out for whatever excuse you come up with. You need the manifest presence of God more than you realize, especially as we draw to the end of time. Brothers, I just want you to know that Jesus was walking in these golden lampstands, the seven churches, and he's walking in our church today. And I believe that he is the Lord of the church. I will have people sometimes, it's really interesting to be the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church, because people will point to you and they'll say, Bellevue Baptist Church? And I'll say, well, actually, my name is Steve, but yes, I'm Bellevue Baptist Church. I don't say that. I just say, yes, Bellevue. I'm glad. I'm grateful. Praise God. But I got news for you. The Lord of the church is Jesus. Jesus is in charge. Pastor's not in charge. And I'll have people say, what's it like being in charge of that big old church? I say, well, I'm not in charge. I work for the one that's in charge. I serve the one that's in charge. He can get rid of me anytime he wants to. He doesn't need me. He didn't need anybody before me. He won't need anybody after me. He can pick whoever he wants. I just work for him. I don't care if they know my name after I'm gone or not. I'm too ugly to paint anyway. Don't try that, all right? Don't do that. Just let me just ease on out and let Jesus be lifted up. And I'm all for everybody, but I want to say this to you. We ought to exalt the name of Jesus above everybody else. Amen? Amen. Everybody else and everything else. I'm not against painting, so don't send me a letter, all right? I'm not against that. But I just believe that he's here. And only Jesus knows the reality of our church. He knows every reason that we had a baptism Sunday. He knows every reason why we do what we do. He knows every reason of why you're here. He knows every reason of why I'm here. He knows everything that's going on in your mind. He knows everything that's going on in our house. He knows if we're going to have a high attendance day, if it's really to reach people for Christ or if it's to brag about some number. He knows if we're really doing Who's Your One, if it's just about building a church, or if it's about building his kingdom and his great name and glorifying him. He knows. God Almighty is in charge of this church. And we'd better do it right. We'd better do it his way. We'd better do it for his glory. Because he doesn't share his glory with anybody. His glory would burn you up, burn me up. I'm thank God he doesn't share his glory with me. I couldn't handle it, and you couldn't either. So who is the Lord of every church? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. What does he see when he sees our church? Are we feet washers? Are we servants? Are we living holy lives? Just remember, Jesus is the head of this church. I got a lot more to say. I don't have time to say it. Let's talk about the priority of Christ's church. If you were to ask somebody today, what is the priority of Bellevue? You'd get a lot of different answers. Perhaps, I hope not, you'd get some. Somebody might say service. Well, service is important, but it's not our priority. Look in verse 2. He said, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance. You have been serving. I got news for you. We've got so much going on at Bellevue. You can wear yourself out serving the Lord around here. I believe that the reason a lot of people wear themselves out is because there's a lot of people not doing what they ought to be doing. If everybody was doing what they ought to be doing, then these other people wouldn't have to be more than they're supposed to be doing. Some of y'all don't do much. You come to church, put a check in the plate, you're gone. God wants more than once a week presents and some pocket change, friend. God wants your life. And you love Jesus, you love his church. You find out what your spiritual gift is and you get involved, and it once a week somehow serve the Lord in and through the local church. Man, be committed to the church just like Jesus is committed to the church. It's his bride. Service is important, but you know what? There's something even more important. There's a greater priority. Purity is important. Boy, you can't live with the Lord and walk in impurity, impurity of thoughts, impurity of actions, any type of secularism, any type of immorality. Notice what he said in verse 2. I know your deeds, your toil, your perseverance. You cannot tolerate evil. He's talking about immoral men. You put to the test those who call themselves apostles, but they're not, and you found them to be false. Verse 6, yet you have, this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, whom I also hate. The Nicolaitans were doctrinally incorrect, but they were also morally incorrect. And what he's saying here is, if you're going to walk with me, you've got to let the Holy Spirit make you holy. How many of you know that you can't be holy without the Holy Spirit? Anybody know that? You can't do it. You can say, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that all you want to, but the Holy Spirit has to take over. Take over your thoughts. You have to learn to resist those thoughts, to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. You've got to learn to resist every tempting spirit in the name of Jesus. You've got to learn to walk in prayer. You've got to learn to walk filled with the Holy Spirit of God, walking with the Lord, obeying the Lord, and being ever so close. I want to say this to you. The longer you walk with him, the closer you get, and also the less slack he will give you. Some of you have walked with the Lord so long. I'll say it the way, only way I know it. You can't get away with anything without the Lord touching you about it. You ought to praise God that it's that way. Are you walking with the Lord? Are you living a pure life? Pure theologically. Pure morally. That's so important, but it's not, even though it's very important, it's not the primary priority of the church. Perseverance. Talking about perseverance through persecution, which we don't know much of. We don't know really any of. That's so important, but it's not the priority. Verse 3, as you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Some of them had been imprisoned. Some of them had been persecuted. I wonder if you and I could go through that. I wonder if America turns away from God. More and more you hear political parties saying we're embracing people who don't love God. Come on in. Be part of our movement. We're progressives. How many of you know that running from God is not progressive? Does anybody know that? I saw one seminary up north this week. They had their students confessing their sins against plants. They were talking to the plants. We have lost our minds. Now, I've talked to a thorn bush once or twice in my life. I ain't going to tell you what I said. No, none of your business. Before I was saved. Amen. But I didn't think it could hear me. I'm not going to talk to some plants. I'm so sorry that I used two napkins instead of one. I am so sorry that I used a plastic straw. I am so sorry. Oh, forgive me, plant. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. But we're going to be persecuted if we don't follow the world and its ways. The world is getting nuttier and nuttier and meaner every day. And it's going to be just like the Roman Empire before Jesus comes back. There's going to be Christians that are martyred. It's going to happen. You say, I believe in the rapture. I do too, but I believe before the rapture hits, there's going to be a lot of persecution. It's going to get hot before he comes back. But even persecution, perseverance in persecution is not the priority. You say, okay, Brother Steve, if it's not service and purity and perseverance, what is it? You ready? Loving God. That's it. There's your priority. Loving God. Is my priority for Donna providing for her? No. Is my priority for Donna serving her? No. What's my priority for Donna? Loving her. If you don't love somebody, the whole relationship is messed up. It has to be based on love. And they had left their first love. They didn't have love for God. I have this, verse 4, I have this against you. You have left. Notice, they didn't lose it. Don't ever say, I've lost my first. You didn't lose anything. I remember my mother cleaned a plant called Sylvania. They had, like back then, before they had master keys, they had just, I don't know, dozens of keys. She goes to the plant manager. She said, I lost the keys. He said, you haven't lost them. You just don't know where they are. You're going to find those keys. And she did, man, she did. You don't lose your first love. You leave it. You walk away from it. Every time you don't read the Bible, you're leaving your first love. Every time you don't spend that time in prayer, you leave your first love. Every time you stay up late so you can't get up early because your body has to have sleep, you're leaving your first love. You're leaving it incrementally until you look back and it's way, that first love is way over there. I used to really enjoy going to church. I used to enjoy singing for the Lord. I used to enjoy telling people about Jesus. I used to enjoy fasting and praying. I used to enjoy the things of God. But now, incrementally, I've just kind of left it. Priority of every church, every Christian, is to love God. Number 4, let me give you the quick commands for Christ Church. How do you get it back? How do you get that back, that love back? Look at verse 5. Therefore, remember. Everybody say remember. Remember from where you have fallen. And repent. Everybody say repent. And do the deeds you did at first. Everybody say do the deeds. Everybody say repent. Everybody say remember. Everybody say do the deeds. Okay, just we're dismissed. Go do that. We'd have revival. If you would remember what it was like when you loved Jesus, if you would repent of your sins and do the deeds you did at first in your marriage, when your wife was about, your fiance was about to get in the car, you'd open the door. Are you okay? You gonna get in okay? Yeah. Oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, I love you. And you shut the door and you walk around and you get in the car. And now it's just go to the car and get in. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. When you're in love, you'd work on a meal. Oh, you'd have on your apron. You'd be singing skippity-doo-da, skippity-day. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. And you were, oh, honey, come in. And, boy, the table was set. And he said, wow, man, this is awesome. And you sit down, have a big meal. And now, if you want to hide something from your husband, you put it in the oven. Because it ain't ever going to be used, amen? Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. What happened to first love? You say, I burned it up. I don't want any letters about that now. Everybody say, remember the wonder of first love. Remember the wonder of first love. Look at verse 5. Therefore, remember from where you've fallen. Remember when Jesus saved you, you were a soul winner. You were a witnessing person. You were repenting of your sins. Whenever you thought about anything doing wrong, you'd repent, and you were passionate in your love for Jesus Christ. You also need to repent for losing your first love. Therefore, remember from where you've fallen away and repent. I love what Keith Green's song says. My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. So what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew with the wine of your blood. And then you need to repeat the deeds of first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds. You did it first. Get back in the Word. Get back in prayer. Start fasting again. Start witnessing again. Go to church. Be with your friends that love Jesus. Stop doing sinful things. Christian, hear the voice of the Lord. You need to remember the wonder of first love, repent for losing your first love, and repeat the deeds of first love. Those are commands of the church. And very quickly, two more things, a warning for the church. How many of you know that God will send you a warning right before you're about to do something really bad? He'll send you a warning. Does he not? Sure he does. We all know that. Here's the warning for the church. Or else. Say that with me. Or else. How many of you had parents that said, do this or else? Anybody have parents like that? Some of y'all say, oh, no, no, no. Mine gave me the option. Mine did too. Option A, obey. Option B, bad. The apocalypse is coming down on you, boy. A warning, or else I am coming to you, I'll remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. I'm warning you, Ephesus, either get back to where you were at the beginning when you were reaching all those people for Christ and loving me with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, or I'm going to take away the anointing. I got news for you, friend. You are not that big a deal. I'm not that big a deal. No preacher is a big deal. No Christian is a big deal. It's the anointing of God on you that's the big deal. And if God removes that, we have nothing. We have nothing. I don't have anything to give you. Steve Gaines doesn't have anything to give you. No preacher has anything to give you. The only thing I've got to give you is his anointing through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. You let God take the lampstand away. You let him take the anointing away, and it's through. We cannot do the work of God without the anointing of the Spirit of God. Zechariah 4:6, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. That's how things get done in the spirit world. Jesus would take away his anointing from Bellevue Baptist Church if we don't heed him today. God is no respecter of persons or churches. He says, do it or else. I'm coming to you. I'll remove your lampstand. I'll remove your anointing. But then he ends on a positive note, a promise from Christ's church. Verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Where are we headed? We're headed to a glorious city that this world knows nothing about. We're headed to a glorious destination. Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it ever entered into the heart of man what is ahead of those who love God and are called according to him. Would you today quit being so wrapped up in this world? Would you today pull away from the things that you own? Would you today seek first the kingdom of God? Would you today fall in love afresh with Jesus Christ? Would you today say, Lord, let your fire burn in me like it has not in a long, long time? Would you beg God today? Would you plead with God today? Oh, Lord, revive my heart. Quit praying for revival for everybody else for right now. Just say, God, revive my heart. Oh, God, I draw a circle around me. Everything that's in this circle I offer to you. Oh, Lord, do a fresh work in me. God, don't let me leave my first love. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our congregation with first love. Help us to return to first love. Don't remove our lampstand, oh God. Make it shine brighter. We pray it in Jesus' name. If that's your prayer, say amen.